I'd like to suggest a word that maybe encapsulates those thoughts, and it's a kind of the idea of steadiness, both in of not having the double heart, not having the double mind, as well as keeping rank. It's the idea of steadiness. Another illustration of that is when the Israelites were marching around Jericho and the walls came a-tumbling down. That's the way we sing it in Sunday school. That it says, it's an interesting phrase there, that when the walls fell, every man went straight up before him to take the city. So you could imagine that here are these 40,000 soldiers equipped for war encircling the city, probably just about, or close to it. And when the walls fell, they didn't all try to find the best place to launch the attack. They went from where they were. They went straight up before them because God intended that they would be at that spot when this part of the wall fell. So that's where they were going to be of service in the battle, to fight the good fight from that point on, not looking for maybe a fancier building where they could have better loot or where they could find some more famous soldier from Jericho to fight against and they would get more renown. They went straight up from where they were, and they fought the good fight from there. And just this idea of steadiness and not being distracted by the other options, the other opportunities. Maybe we could turn back to Philippians 2 again, just to build a little bit more on this too. In the beginning of Philippians 2, Paul is telling the Philippians that they should have the mind of Christ. And in verse 4, as he leads into that thought, into the thoughts specifically about the humility of Christ Jesus, in verse 4 he says, don't look only for your own interests, but for the interests of others. However, having said that, he also says then in the verses about Timothy later in the chapter, we read verse 22, but verses 19 and 20 and 21 say that nobody does that. Here he's instructing the Philippians in general, don't just look out for your own things, look out for the things of others. But he says in verse 20 and 21, for example, only Timothy really cares for you. Everybody, verse 21, seeks their own. And this is maybe a character. It also affects what we do, but it's a mindset first, that we are minded in a certain direction to seek what Christ has given us. And, Peter turned around in John 21 and he saw John following. He says, well, what's this man supposed to do? And the Lord says, essentially, if we may paraphrase, mind your own business. I gave you a task. You follow me. It's not important to you what he's going to do. And that doesn't mean, again, that we ignore our fellow believers, but we are steady in our focus. We have a fixed object on the Lord. And then if we might just imagine that, you know, when you look off into the distance, you have a fixed object. But then between you and that object are many other objects. And I think that's when we have our gaze fixed on the Lord, then he, in that pathway, he has the things that he wants us to do along that pathway. Steadiness is a good character for a Christian to have.
Another word that... I should count to three, right?
One Mississippi, two Mississippi.
Another word that came to my mind as we're thinking about this is the word competency. And a couple things in the life of Timothy bring that out. It says in chapter 3 of the second epistle, from a child thou hast known the scriptures. And so from an early stage he began to have the scriptures as a part of his daily, you know, movements. But then it also says that he sat under the tutelage of the Apostle Paul. You have known my doctrine. And so he develops this competency over time in order to be a effective servant. And I want to suggest for all of us is that, you know, you're not going to just wake up one day and say, I'm ready to serve. You know, it's a matter of a development. How did they keep rank? It was a development. It's a process by which the Word of God is taking root in my heart. It's taking root. I'm beginning to think. My mind is being reoriented and re-channeled to start to think along a whole different pathway, a whole different line. And it's going to take some time. I'm going to make some mistakes, and that's okay. You know, but it's really learning and to develop competency. Paul said to Timothy, from a child you know in the scriptures, and then under my guidance, you continue in the things that you have learned, because you learned them from me. And we had yesterday the need to be teachable, right? And here, Timothy became a competent servant because he had the scriptures, but he also was teachable and he learned from the Apostle Paul.
Just along the same line of the development that we have with Timothy, we see, and just to connect the points that we had about having the Word of God within us, we think of there's another reference about those that were expert in war. And in Song of Songs, which is often, you know, referred to as a book of love, we find that there were those that were around Solomon's bed as he slept. It says that there were 60. I'll just read it fast. In Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 7. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's, 80 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. And so we see that, you know, these weren't novices. These weren't, you know, people that were just, these were men that had to have been trained, you know, for their whole life probably, that would have been worthy of that position, that while Solomon would be sleeping, there were these 60 valiant men that were ready with their swords. They were ready with the word of God and ready to protect what they were surrounding, which was Solomon. And for us, that's a picture of the man of God should be ready to protect and fight and defend for the rights of Christ, who we are gathered around, his name and his person and his work. So just that thought.
Now, if I could build on that, the thought in 1 Timothy 6, there's another thing that we're instructed. We mentioned that we're to flee, and we're to pursue, we're to fight. And then I want to also suggest what to lay hold of. And I want to tie that in with your thought. The whole thought in Song of Solomon is for her to lay hold of him and him to lay hold of her. He's trying to lay hold of her. She shuts the door and he has to knock on the door. But we are to lay hold of our eternal life. We're to lay hold of it. It's not something that we have to try to attain. We already have it. But we're to lay hold of it as... if I could put it in another way, we're to make it good, make it effective in our life. And this is eternal life, that they might know you. How well do we know the Lord? Comes right back to what we had on Sunday. And if we're going to lay hold of eternal life, how well do we know our Lord and Savior? How well do we appreciate him? How well do we lay hold of him? How well do we let him lay hold of us? So that's just another thing of laying hold, enjoying the eternal life that we now have. It's not something, it's not about quality, living forever and ever and ever. It's about quantity right now. And so we need to lay hold of it. So I just want to tie that in with your thought.
You spoke of eternal life, the last statement, not about quality, but quantity. Did you mean that?
Other way around.
Yeah.
Other way around. I said it the other way.
Yeah.
I think you didn't hear me right.
At the end, I think you said quantity again. You had quality.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get clarification.